Children, time to go to your church. Brothers and sisters, happy Sunday. Fundamentally, Sunday is for us to come together and fellowship in Christ. Sundays and gatherings like this remind us of who we are. We have all been to different places. But we come together on Sundays to be reminded that we're on a journey, and that journey leads to glory. And that journey, Jesus has already gone ahead of us. And that journey is full of promise and full of glory. No matter what Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday has held for us, the communion of God's people speaks to that great day when I assure you, as God who does not lie has told us, He will gather us together and we will be with Him forever in Jesus' name. It's a journey that we all started at different times, and I beg you that you all hold on, because that day will be glorious when Jesus comes. That day, I say, will be a glorious day when Jesus comes. We all started from different spots, but all of us will end up in the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ, pardoned by His blood, tremendously blessed because He lives. All of our last names on that day will change, and we will have only one name, that they are children of the Most High God. Blessed be the Lord. It's a journey, and the Bible tells us that we should hold on. It's also a journey that the Bible tells us that the evil one is doing everything to make sure that we don't get to the end of it. And I can see it very clearly. The Bible tells us some will get to the middle of it and be tired. Some will start well and not finish. But it says that as long as today is called today, we should do what? Encourage one another. We should not wait until Monday before I encourage Baratunde, because Satan is waiting. In fact, right now, I can see Satan sitting by his side. It's not you, Sister Tom. He's on the other side. Satan is in our clock talking about the next Arsenal game. Okay, the league is over. Satan is in us, the homework we have to do. How come it's when we stand up to hear God's word or to pray that those thoughts always come? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But God's word will continue to encourage us. We will finish right in Jesus' name. My job this morning, as led by the Spirit, is to continue what's been happening, to encourage us. And I've chosen the topic for today to be more about Jesus. Our song, everything has reflected. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, starting from verse 1, that in the beginning, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And the default state was that there was no form, and it was void. And what else does the Lord say there? Church, help me. Something covered the face of the earth. Darkness covered the face of the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And thus started the story of the creation of the world, according to the word of God. Darkness covered the face of the earth. And the physical creation of earth started when God said, I don't like the idea of darkness. Let there be light. And then there was light. But before then, there was water. And there was void. But the last thing that came on earth that started what we now know as a universe was there was darkness, and then God said, let there be light. And again, thus started the story of the physical creation of the earth that we walk on. Then John came and told us, but that's not really the spiritual meaning of that passage. In John chapter 1, I'll start reading from verse 1. Don't worry, I wrote it down. Just write it. I'm going to read it to you. He said, in the beginning, just like in Genesis, was the Word, capital W. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And Jesus was God. So when Moses, or whoever wrote Genesis, was writing about the void, the fall, and the Spirit of the Lord upon the face of the waters, John told us that he was writing about Jesus. I'm going to read it. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. The spiritual meaning of Genesis. In him was life, and that life was the light that illuminated the darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Lord God Almighty did not like the idea of darkness, and he commanded light to shine out of darkness. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus became the light spiritually of the world. That's why no matter what thing we do, and we do well, we do technology and we do it quite well. We do medicine, yes, Ogadokita, and we do it pretty well. We have to give ourselves the credit. We do it pretty well. We do communications, and we do it well. Engineering, I understand that China is light years ahead, and Japan especially. We do it well. But everything we've done well that has not included Jesus has not brought true light to the world. In all you're getting, get what? Wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom of God. When we run, we invent, we innovate, we still come to the point that in the deepest recess of our hearts, unless we have Jesus formed in it, it still results in darkness and death. Everything is a gift. True life is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 5 of John chapter 1 says, that light shines in darkness, and darkness does not understand it. Are you then surprised, my brothers, that God has given to you and I the best gift of all, although we may not be the smartest, the fastest, the most brilliant, the most resourceful? Those who have Jesus Christ, the ultimate gift, have all things. You can have other things, but if you do not take care of Jesus, the ultimate gift, every other gift you have dies at the grave. But the knowledge of the Son of God is the gift that gives, that keeps giving. And that gift God has given to you and I, all shapes and sizes of us, from all kindred, all tongue, from all families of life, black, blue, yellow, non-discriminatory. He has given to the rich, he has given to the poor. As many as believe in him, to them he gave the power to be the sons of God. The ultimate gift is Jesus. And we have experimented, our civilization has experimented enough. But today, what do you see? Rather than see the proliferation of light, with all of our knowledge, all of our libraries, the Great Library of Alexandria, the Library of Congress contains almost the biggest library in the world right now, and the ultimate library of mankind, Google. Even with all of that, we thought that our parents brought home volumes of Encyclopedia Britannica, volumes upon volumes of it. We have all of that in this device, and we still have the same problems in the world. But when Jesus is brought into a country, into a polity, into an organization, into a heart, suddenly there's transformation. Because Jesus is the light. Not religion, not the church. Jesus. That's why the church without Jesus, there's still no light in it. There's resentment and hatred and darkness and evil and backbiting and all kinds of things. But show me a people who have made the Lord Jesus their focal point, and you will never find darkness in it, because Jesus is the light of the world. I told you today there's no new message. We're just going to go over the things we have been taught since we were babies in the Lord. At times when we have been Christians for a long time, we forget where God got us from. We forget where our neighbors who do not have Jesus are coming from. At times we even lose empathy, if only they will believe, as though it was by carrying, going to the gym that you believed. And we even teach about it as though, oh, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Oh, really, you? Who invited you to that banquet? With what hand? Is it left or right hand that you accepted him? Till today, I can't explain. I can tell the people the story of how I got born again, but I can't, I don't know if any, the mechanism of getting born again. Can any of you hear? It was because of this, and then finally when I understood John 3:16, then I got born again. Those are just mechanisms of salvation. And that's why it's different from for many of us. I remember the great Alcee Sproul Jr., the theologian, Reformed theologian. I was listening to him one day, and he was explaining that the passage that he got before he met Jesus was that when a tree falls, that where he falls, there it remains. That was the passage that brought him to Jesus. Please explain to me, what has where a tree, when a tree falls, where it falls, that's where it remains. What has that got to do with salvation? But this deep man of thinking, that was the means, the mechanism of salvation. If I ask you, Sister Bramoni, okay, Sister Ken. Brother Ken, which one? What? Tell me, how did you get born again? What word of God brought you to Christ? Do you remember? Some of us don't even remember. Brother Tunde, do you remember? Was there a moment? Do you remember what he said? Why did it resonate on that day? I know that you can go. Well, sorry, what was it? Lord Jesus, come. Was that the first time you were hearing that song? That was the mechanism. Who else? Who has a special? Mine was Micah 7:8. My enemies do not laugh over me. Though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will give me light. I didn't even know that Lord. But that passage was transformative since that day. That day that I had that Micah 7:8, my life had never been the same again. I'd had John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 1:16. All of those things I'd had. But my enemies do not, you know, we Africans, enmity and when you've had, you've watched Fade Oloro films and all of that. So all of those things resonate with you a bit. But those are mechanisms. It's still a mystery how you came to Jesus. Your story will be different. One particular man needed to be blinded for days just so he could think about himself. And then he had to have someone go and open his eyes. And he became the greatest apostle. Jesus, our lover. The common theme in all of us is that we all came to know Jesus. Wouldn't it be strange now that we're older in the Lord that we will love Jesus less than when we first met him? We lose the wonders of salvation experience that we experience as converts. Our love is supposed to grow deeper and deeper for Jesus Christ. I have made you too small in my eyes, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive me, for I have believed in this lie that you are unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. What? Heal my heart and show yourself. The Lord is saying that many times as we grow as Christians, we become somewhat distracted. And we need to return our focus to a person. We are distracted by knowledge. We are distracted by attacks of Satan. We are distracted by expediency. Whereas the call of our Lord is a call to love him and walk with him. Every resource we need, he himself will provide it. I have seen it too much, and I always wonder. I've seen people grow to be big men of God when God only wants you to be his child. Which one will you rather be? Will you rather be somebody's man or somebody's child? Somebody's man collects wages and salaries. The children inherit the company. I've seen too many times when God wants us to sit and we're saying, Lord, we're strong enough to walk and run. He must return to the basics of the knowledge of the. Remember when you got first got saved? What was it that made you act different? Who was it? Wasn't it the love for this man, Jesus? Those who enter Christianity by the window. You know, Jesus says some people will enter by the window. Do you know what that means? There's that parable, remember? It says some enter. What do you think that means? Yeah? I am the door. But some people will enter. They will enter Christianity because they need a miracle. They will enter Christianity because they like the crew. They enter Christianity because they just prefer this church. They enter Christianity because my family hates me. They will enter Christianity because they've seen a miracle. Those are all windows. Said those, and you see, they never start. They are the ones that confuse the church. You will see them, they will sing like us, they will sit like us, they will speak, but their spirit will never be like ours. It's only those who enter through Jesus, they become the sons of God. And they are all gradually transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. People have secondary agendas in the church. Some are in church because they want to form a mighty church, some are in church because they want to rise up to be GOs. Some are in church because they want the right association. Some are, but those who come because they want to fellowship with Jesus, they will find such fellowships. He said, he that obeys my word, I will come and my father will come and we will dine with them. Those people will not be tired. They will not give up. They will wait because they are in it for the right reason. But the Lord will weed out every pretension from his congregation on the last day in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ, the need to exalt him. 1987, Graham Kendrick. That song, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Second line. Who knows what the second line of that? I like was in the midst of the darkness shining. Do you know that even now with Boko Haram, even now with corruption, in the midst of this darkness, the light of Jesus Christ is shining. May it shine amidst us in Jesus' name. Darkness cannot comprehend it. I always say that do not lose hope, brethren. We look at how bad things are and we say, look, these are not the worst age for Christ. It doesn't even come near. If you read Christian history, you will know we're still in good times right now. There's a time that if you and I, even on earth now, if you and I dare to gather in the name of Jesus like this, that they will gather us up and burn us at stake.
If I dare to read the Bible in English, they will gather wood and set me ablaze. In the name of Jesus, they will do it. There's a time that you will bring out an offering basket. We're close to that time now. And then you pay money in order to be able to commit sin. They call it indulgence. These are not the worst time of Christianity. There was a time when the Christianity that the whole wide world knew, was the Christianity that the emperor approved for about 700 years. God has seen these times before. But in the midst of the darkness, darkness cannot comprehend and overcome Jesus. Please do not let darkness overcome you. The Bible says we should remember the ancient landmarks that our fathers have set. I'm calling you. Did you just talk about old religion? I'm calling you to the old time religion. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. This song is a prayer. Set us free by what? Set us free by the truth. People, without truth, we will die. People, without truth, you will go astray and you will not know it. Many people are sincerely serving Satan today. Many people are sincerely serving institutions and they think they are principals of the church today. Unless we know the truth, the way, and the life, which is Jesus, we will perish. So Kendrick said, set us free by the truth that you bring us. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Is that your prayer in the morning? Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, sweet spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Is your heart on fire? Is that your prayer? Flow, river of God, flow. Flood the nations. Isn't that our prayer? We are seeing killing. We're seeing corrupt politicians. We're seeing lying in the place of power. Regularized lies. Are we sleeping, children of Issachar? Aren't these the signs of the times? Isn't this evidence that these are times when we have to face our problems with prayer? Are we going to sleep? Send forth your word. Your word. Lord, let there be light. This is about time when we need to take up the banner of Jesus in our communication. Listen, any Christian communication without Jesus is not a Christian communication. We cannot persuade people by logic. The Bible did not say those who understand will inherit the kingdom. It said those who believe will inherit the kingdom. Then you say to me, but how can they believe if they do not understand? Please stop appealing to people's understanding. The word that converts is a means. Oh, Brother Wale, how about the road to Emmaus? Did the Lord not open their eyes to understand the scripture? For goodness sake, they were disciples already. They must be disciples before they will understand. Our job is to make sure we do not deviate from the truth. As crude as it may be, God does the conversion. The disciples were disciples before they understood. It took them 3 years of working, even at that, it took them the illumination of the Holy Spirit before they understood. Until the time when Jesus ascended, they did not understand the doctrine of ascension. And yet they were disciples. Because the Lord will reveal himself to those who believe, he will give understanding to those who are humble. Because darkness cannot comprehend it. Let's be faithful. Do not modify God's word. Don't try to make people believe. Don't change the method. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The apostle said, behold, I am not what? Ashamed of what? Of the gospel of Jesus. For it's the power of God for what? Salvation for those who believe. First to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Same message to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Our world is dying today because we are burying Jesus in too many doctrines. Whereas the bullet, the sword of the Spirit, the sword in the Spirit is Jesus himself. The Bible described the word of God as foolishness. Don't try and make it wisdom. Say that Jesus rose, Jesus died. All have sinned, fallen short. God has sent his son to save you from his sins. People, don't, they hear, come to church, just try. Just try to come to church. We will love you into church. Yes, you are right. You will love them into church, but they will not be saved. But when you see someone that God has saved by the word of God, the power of God to salvation is on your tongue, is in your heart. The Bible says the word of salvation that we speak is right there in your mouth and in your heart. Let's open our tongues and declare it the way the Lord says. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The Prince of Peace is of them. The first, the last. Da, 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 da. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. When you're in a party, please drop Jesus. Eschatology of redemption, and forget all of that. Just drop Jesus. Satan is happy when we keep writing books about Christian theories, when we try to look into mysteries and dark places. He's very happy as long as we don't talk about Jesus. But where the name of Jesus is mentioned, there's trembling. There's no miracle today because Jesus is not exalted. The Lord said, I keep John 15 or 14 or thereabout. He said, behold, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He said, when he comes, he will teach you all things. He said, he will not what? Speak about himself. Even the Holy Spirit does not talk about himself. He said, whatsoever he hears from me, that's what he will say. That's how powerful the name that you and I own is. Let's not hide Jesus in America. Do not bury Jesus in Christianese. Do not start a brand new religion that is not centered around Jesus. Kendrick, second verse. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood, I enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Let this be our prayer every day. Shine on me. By the blood of Jesus, let us enter into the brightness of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begins at us, what shall be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. It's a wonderful prayer for a believer. Because at times we have darkness in our hearts. The Bible says if the eyes we have is darkness, how great is that darkness? But let's pray that Christ God will give us a revelation of his son. You see, for someone whose Christian life is about Jesus, death does not matter. Life does not matter. Prosperity does not matter. Because Jesus becomes our death, our life, and our prosperity. Third stanza, Kendrick. As we gaze on your kindly brightness, Lord, kingly. Oh, there you go. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, Lord, so our faces display your likeness. Have you been gazing on Jesus? Does it reflect? Are you changing to reflect Jesus? What have you been gazing at? Are you sure it's Jesus that you've been gazing at? Because if you are gazing at Jesus, he said, we look as through a mirror. The glow, we behold as through a glass, the glory of the Lord. And then from glory to glory, in the like of the image of Jesus, we are transformed. When you take Jesus out, you'll be developed in different similitudes, but not that of Jesus. You may become more Baptist, more Methodist, more Anglican. But if you focus your Christianity of Jesus, you become more Christian. And that's how we confirm whether we're gazing or reading the right thing. Everybody reads the Bible. How do you know if you're reading the right thing? How do you assess? Are you being transformed in the image of the glory of the passage you are reading from glory to glory? Ever changing from glory to glory, mirrored here. May our lives tell your story. Mirrored here. Hendrick said, may our lives, is your life today, after 20 years of salvation, telling the story of Jesus Christ? Is your life telling the story of Yeshua? May our lives The Bible says if one man died for all, I reckon that followed, all have died. And those for him, for whom he died, should no longer live unto themselves, but unto he who died for them. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live now, I live by what? Faith in the Son of Man who loved me and died for me. Paul did not say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. Did he say that? No, no. Paul did not say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Did he say that? He differentiated it. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of. You know what that means? Tell me, I'm not ashamed not to stop preaching Jesus. In fact, in this book he read, he said, I determined not to know anything among you in the Bible reading this morning, but Jesus Christ. He said, we preach nothing but Jesus. I pray that we'll discover our love for Jesus. You see, I tell you, brethren, everybody worships God. The Shango worship God. Muslims worship God. Everybody worships God. What's the difference between you and the other religions? We worship God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He that honors the Father must honor the Son. I think seriously, Satan keeps, please.
I want a clarification so that we avoid confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody worship God. Shogo worshippers are not worshiping the living God.
Why are you qualifying it now?
Because
it's God. I said, I didn't say living God.
Ah, okay. So I just,
you are the one that's qualifying it.
Okay, I just wanted to be.
And if they will tell you, they will tell you they're worshiping the living God. That's your, me and you understand that. But okay, if they will tell you,
okay,
you think, look, Sister Shalewa, let's be truthful. I think we Christians are a little arrogant. Let's bring ourselves down. Do you think it's easy for someone to go into the forest? Some of us cannot even, we used to do prayer meeting till 12. Then we said it was too much. We did it to 11. Then we said 10. Now we don't do those long prayer meetings anymore. These people, some of them will carry. So, I'll read something to you. Some of them will sacrifice their children. Whatever they think they are doing, they believe in it. But for the grace of God, they are not playing. Muslims, do you think it's easy? 3 times a day? How easy is it for, oh, sorry, 5. How easy is it for you? We even say come to prayer meeting. Many of you don't have time to come to Friday night prayer meeting. Do you think it's easy 5 times a day to stop what you are doing? How many, where are the doctors here? You can raise your hand. We have cutting placement. We are doctors. Don't raise it, you don't know. Raise it. Hey, well done. Let him go, Jacob Melara. Is it easy to stop in the middle of your round to go and pray 5 times? How many of you are programmers? Your head is spinning. Is it easy to put all of that apart and 5 times? Go and pray. Teachers, can you stop your lessons and say, I'm going to pray? Whatever they believe in, but for the grace of God, it's by revelation that we know the living God. They think they are calling on that God as well. That's what I meant. Yeah. No.
Even Christians say it. We serve the
same. And I'm about to say, unless you go through Jesus. That's why I said the only differentiator is Christ. Christianity, our own Christianity without Jesus is no better than Islam. Remember the finishing statement there was that aside from Christ, we all worship the same fake God. He that comes to the Father must come through him. He that does not come through him is not the living God. And I dare say, I make this pronouncement in the revelation of God, that many of us in the church today, we are worshiping we know not who.
I think Christ told the Judaists that. The key point, Sister Shalewa, is possible to be worshipping very hard and not worshipping the right God. And the only way you are worshipping the right God is if you are going through the path of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's not lose sight of the importance of Christ.
Question. One other question. When you were trying to ask us the mechanism of salvation,
right,
I'd come across this scripture, and at some point I thought it was referring to how we become saved. John is still the same, John chapter 3, verse 8, where the Bible says the wind blows where
exactly.
It's wishing,
right.
Where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So I think I read another version that made it clearer that how we become born again, we don't understand.
Yeah.
It happens by the help of the Holy
yeah.
Spirit. But I just wanted to be sure that, do I have the right one? Is that what that verse is talking about?
I believe so. I've been trying to, I wish I could recapture what it was on that day, June. On that June Sunday, I have to go back to that year and find out what the exact date is. Thank God for, to find out what it was. I want to recapture it so that I can just recreate it in my friends. You know, what was it in? And I have never been able to, I've tried the same method. I've brought out Micah chapter 7 verse 8 and they just look at me. Duh. People man fight any nisha. You know? So you're right. I believe it's a work of the Spirit. But there's something that is your work and my work. That is to go forth into the world and present it. What I'm really worried about is that we are modifying the message. Satan is trying to make us modify. At times we seek, we have to be faithful to what we are called. We are called to teach Jesus. We are called to trust in the power of God. It's foolishness to many people, but yet it's the power of God unto salvation. For missionaries who encountered darkness in our world, they came preaching Jesus. And somehow, idol worshippers born there in Ephesus, the great Diana, they went preaching Jesus. The foolishness of the gospel brings darkness down because Jesus brings light. Theology does not, except good theology. Quite right. The mystery is not there. And thank God we are not, because see, God will save those that he wants. Thank God that we are not called to do the salvation. We are just called to be faithful deliverer of the message. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Let's be faithful. Let's not leave Jesus Christ out of our discourse. Let's not leave the worship of Jesus Christ out of our personal life. Don't look at your pastor. They are human beings. They can miss it, and God can raise them up. Many people looking at their pastors have missed it. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That was how we started after all. I remember every born-again Christian I met when I was younger in college. What was shining in them was the love for Jesus Christ. That was why they consider all each other, one another, brothers. Nobody considered themselves the author of another's faith. There was you could have senior brothers, right? That's okay in the faith. But Jesus, even the senior brothers were pointing the younger ones to Jesus. And it was beautiful to watch. And until we go back to that, I don't think that the revival, you were talking about great on Friday. We should pray for great salvation. I think we should go back to old to be faithful to the preaching of the word. Test yourself. How many times do you share Jesus? Conscious. How many times do you strategize about bringing Jesus into a conversation as you are speaking? Oh, what am I resenting? They won't like it. They will really not like. Don't worry. Let them hate it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say we are redeemed of the Lord. May the Lord bless us as we do this, right? We shouldn't be tired of consciously proclaiming Jesus in our songs, in our sermon, in our heart, in our conversations, and I'm going to add, in your prayers. Your prayers reveal who you really are. In the secret place, what's your prayer? Is it that the will of Jesus will come to pass? Or is it that God, do me this, God, do this for me, God, do that for me? We are born called to represent Jesus. I'll end soon. to the passage we just read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It says, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. I repeat one phrase there. The glory of Christ. Glorify Jesus, your Lord. Do not glorify yourselves, brethren. In fact, be ready to be shamed for Jesus, because he will give you glory at last. The glory, the world cannot understand the glory of God. In verse 7 says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, we are like jars of clay. Containing this great treasure. We are feeble human beings. What sets us apart is the glory of God that is within us. Jesus is who makes the difference with you and I. Nobody had any credibility to the word of God because the work was finished by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Your job is to go and proclaim him. Your job is not to seek your own promotion. Jesus does not need your eloquence. He needs your faithfulness. Jesus, in fact, he puts all your situations on you that through it, he may be glorified. Christ is not only glorified in our comfort, he's also glorified in our suffering. There's always a Jesus story in the life of a true believer. Don't resent it. Seek the opportunity to continue to declare Jesus. I visited, incidentally, a lady yesterday who has been through tremendous, her story, disappointment, hurt, heartbreak, her kids' health challenges, everything. And as I was speaking with her, she told me something. She said, "Brother, I'm so, it's so hard." You know, she's a strong Christian lady. And you could see the distress all around her. She said, "It came to a point that I had to look at the family account, the husband had disappointed, forsaking them." He said, "I had to look at it and I actually thought about food pantry. So I stood up because the budget wasn't budgeting. So I stood up and I went to the food pantry." He said, "And when I got there, as I was looking at it, God told me, 'Are you sure you don't have enough?'" Then she went home and then she started an NGO cooking for the poor in Baltimore. She took me to the back of her house. Out of her misery, her suffering, her husband is threatening divorce. She's a medical doctor. Her career ruined. Her children afflicted. She started, God used her to start a ministry. She cooks thousands of meals. She situates fridges. She's a Nigerian woman. And she's there. You could see she's tired. Her life is, she said, "Well, God taught me to do this." She said, "Bro, while every time I'm back here, I'm putting the meals together, I'm not thinking about my problems." And I said to her, I said, "Wow," because I was enlightened. And I said, "Wow, God has used your suffering." She started telling me stories of people who did not know what she was going through, who had been comforted. She said, "Brawale, my plan is to be living in Potomac right now." In fact, when I first met them about 15 years ago, the plan was that by now, because the husband is a physician, brilliant chap, brilliant, both wife and husband, was when they moved from Baltimore, they'll be moving into Potomac, you know, and I'll be making fun of them, you know, so when I come to your house, make sure you still, you know, that way you people make it. They live, she lives because they don't live together anymore. But you could see that in her mystery, you could see, she showed me pictures. She could see a ministry evolving. It's so opposite what they thought. She thought. Then her kids helping out. Hot potato, hot meals. Then when those meals get cold, they situate fridge and then put it in the fridge, post it on Facebook to everybody who's looking for a meal. Whoever is looking for a meal, every time people rush there And they take the meal, neatly packed meal. I was actually asking if you could come up. They do it PG if you can, because our fridge there is very broad. So it only has cakes and cute things, you know. Happy birthday to you. We'll put it to work. I mean, you didn't got a rabiba in here. We'll put it to work. What I'm saying is, in your mystery, God may be evolving a ministry. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But he always knows what he's doing. Please don't resent your situation. It might be an opportunity for God. Most of the people who followed him through heartbreak. In fact, if life went most of the time the way we thought, we never may have landed in the center of God's will. I'll close soon. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. Don't resent your vulnerability, brother. God wants to use people like you and I. You don't have to be Brother Bumi Jim Jim, Sister Kemi Jim 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 for God to use. You don't have to be. In fact, God uses. Sorry, I'm sure you say Jim Jim. Why are you now looking serious? He's now forming serious, right? I mean, you don't. We God. They will never have the situations and unique opportunities that you have. But God needs all of us. All of us. So that it's clear that our great power is from God and not from us. London Mission Society, founded in 1792, they sent two deputies to check out work in what they call the Pacific Island Uranaceous, I believe they call them. They sent these people out in 1821 to find out how the work is doing. Names: George Bennett, Daniel Tylerman. What they witnessed in the Pacific Island reminds us of the state of the heart of the unredeemed people. And it's not just true for way back then, it's still true as you look at your colleagues at work today. A chief in an island called Raiti had killed 19 of his own children before missionaries arrived. And he was troubled by nightmares. But he got converted. Then his wife started having prayer meetings, and the deputies attended these prayer meetings. One by one, the wives began to confess that they had, with their own hands, killed between one and six of their own children for different reasons. Because they did not like the burden of taking care of them, because the gods had to be appeased for different reasons, and they thought they were doing the right thing until Jesus came into their life. That was their own sin. But what, and then all of them, because of the entrance of the good news, had become ashamed of their action. That's what Jesus does. Jesus makes you ashamed of sin. Now tell me, which one of your sins has the gospel made you ashamed of? Because light and darkness are not compatible. I don't mean which one are you sorry for. There's a difference between being sorry and being truly. Those who know Jesus are truly ashamed of sin because a great light has entered into their life. So when I read this in a book. So I called two of my very experienced missionary friends this week. And I said, from your experience in preaching to the heathens, is it common for people to become ashamed of their practices that they once saw normal? So ashamed, because this was what I read, that they were so ashamed that they were even afraid that their sins may be too grievous for God to forgive. Have you ever experienced that? Hopefully, knowledge and revelation tells us there's no sin that God cannot. But these guys were so ashamed. So I asked them, I said, is this your experience? And they pointed out two things to me that I think we can learn from. One, they said, God is at work already in every heart and every conscience before you even preach. They said, this is why an evangelist must be sensitive to the Spirit of God at all times. We, one of them said, never really pioneered any work of redemption. We just go to present the gospel, which is the key for unlocking the heart of darkness. Don't feel the burden of pioneering. God is already at work. He said the laborer, the field is what? Plenty. They're just looking for people who can accurately declare Jesus. Secondly, that is why we can be bold, knowing that we have a key of salvation and God is at work. We needn't be ashamed because the world does not understand us or what we are saying, or because the world cannot accept it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said, you see, we don't go around preaching ourselves. We preach that Jesus is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for the sake of Jesus Christ. For God, verse 6, for God said, let there be light. For God who said, let there be light in darkness, has made his light to shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus. May the Lord reveal this to you and I. Today, there's no abiding fruit because the focus is on men, ourselves, our methods, not on the source of life, who is Jesus. May the light of Jesus shine in our hearts again, so that when we open our mouth, we will speak strictly as oracles of God. We are pressed on every side, said Paul, by troubles. This may be similar to what you're experiencing. But we are not crushed. We are perplexed. I don't know what you're going through. How many people are perplexed there? How many people are crushed? Can you describe your situation today as crushed on every side? A few of us, nobody will raise hand, maybe. We are perplexed. The apostle encourages you. But never be, we are never driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. May the Lord give us this mindset as we minister Jesus in this event. Let's not be resentful. God does not like those who murmur. Verse 14, we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present him together, brethren. It will happen. One day, if you endure, we will see Jesus. All this coming and practicing and it's not in vain. We will see Jesus. We will see Jesus. Just hold on, brethren. Be faithful to Jesus, your Savior. He's faithful who has called us. You have not come to church in vain. You have not believed in vain. You have not been righteous in vain. One day, he said, we don't look at the troubles, verse 18, that we see now. He said, rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see. I encourage you to please set your eyes on the unseen things this morning. He said, listen, all the things we see are temporal, but the things we do not see, they are eternal. This is the word of God, church. This is the word of God. Please set your eyes on eternal things. Let's encourage one another to do that. Let's encourage ourselves to continue to be Christians indeed. Let's encourage one another, remind one another about the gentle Savior who loves us and died for us. Every day, let every lesson you give, let it be supported by the promotion of Jesus Christ. Let your prayer be filled with you shouting to God to show you more of Jesus Christ, because he's the embodiment of everything we need. He's a man. He's not a thing. He's not a religion. He is a man that loves us and shed his blood for us. He's the one that says he will never leave nor forsake us. Let us rise. I'd like us a moment to just think about that. Reflect on your journey in the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about you. We have made it about many things but you. Teach us, Holy Spirit, about Jesus. Give our hearts the ability to fall in love again. As we received, you said, we must receive you as a child. Give us the grace to, Lord. I pray that nothing will be too much for us to sacrifice for you as you have sacrificed all for us. Correct us, Jesus. Deliver us from ourselves. Give us grace, we ask, Lord. You are so beautiful. There are many things to follow. All of them end up being just burdensome to us. Routine, church routine, programs, creeds, decrees. All of it. None of it gives life. But when we follow you, we have life. Speak to us, Jesus. Please reintroduce us to the religion of Jesus, Holy Spirit. Transform us in his image. I pray we will not resent our situation. Give us the strength to bear it and glorify you. Holy Spirit, please minister to us. As we go this week, Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help us not to be ashamed of your gospel. I pray there will be no gathering that will not be able to mention your name. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. Please keep us, Lord. Keep us from evil. Abide with us, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. I think we have communion. Let's be seated.